This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we begin a series called How God Turns Setbacks into Comebacks. We're so glad you've joined us today. If you know someone who needs some encouragement right now, be sure to invite them with a text or a phone call to listen along with you. But first, studies have shown the more grateful a person is, the happier they are. But it's not always easy to be thankful. That's why Pastor Rick developed the Power of Gratitude. It's a special interactive Bible study to help you grow your gratitude. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. If you want, you can just text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called When You've Had a Business Setback.
There are all kinds of setbacks. You may be experiencing a setback right now. It may be a financial setback or a health setback or a career setback or a relational setback. You've had a setback in your marriage or with your boyfriend, or you've had a setback in your plans or your dreams. We have setback after setback in life. And during this series, we're going to look at how God helped people in the Bible overcome each one of these kind of common setbacks that we experience in life. Now, today, we're going to start with looking at what to do when you've had a business setback, maybe even a bankruptcy. Now, you say, well, I don't own a business. I'm not in a business. Well, you're going to draw some principles for your life out of this story where some professional fishermen were failing miserably in their fishing business until they turned to Jesus. Now, I know you're not a fisherman, but these lessons will definitely apply to your life. You know, my dad's favorite recreation was fishing. A day without fishing was a wasted day to my dad, and it was the way he relaxed. And so growing up in rural Northern California, I spent many, many, many hours fishing with my dad. In fact, on the property of the home that I grew up in the little town of Redwood Valley, California, we actually had a little but beautiful lake. It's about a 1-acre lake in our backyard. It was about 60 feet from my bedroom, which had a door to the outside. So I could literally walk out of my bedroom and 50, 60 feet be in that lake. So growing up for me was like a Huck Finn existence where I, you know, had a couple of rafts that I'd built that were always on that lake. We had all kinds of fun growing up fishing and swimming and floating on that lake. Now, if you've ever been around a fisherman, you know that they have fishermen stories. And the more they tell those stories, the bigger the fish get. I could tell you some great ones about growing up and fishing trips that I was on, like catching sharks. I'm not exaggerating on this one. Almost as long as a little tiny boat that we were in with my dad and my brother out under the Golden Gate Bridge. We'd go out under the Golden Gate Bridge of San Francisco Bay and catch sharks. And I won't go into that, but today we're going to look at a story that is one of the greatest fishing stories of all times. And while we're in this series on turning setbacks into comebacks, we're going to look at the principles, lessons that we can learn. If you've ever felt discouraged by your work, by your job, by your career, by your business, if you ever felt like you're not getting anything accomplished, if you've ever felt fatigued, worn out after putting your heart and soul into something, maybe you've even lost your job after you had given it your all. Well, you picked a good weekend to come to church, because this miracle is actually giving us the lessons of what to do when you've had a setback in your business. Now, none of the fishing miracles that you've heard in your lifetime can match this one in Luke chapter 5. It's the second miracle of Jesus. So it's very early on in his ministry. He's only actually done one other miracle before this, which is turning water into wine at the wedding at Canaan. And we're going to look at this one that happened by the Lake of Galilee, or the Sea of Galilee. And it's the miracle where he actually calls his first four disciples to follow him. Now, let me give you a little background. Peter and Andrew were brothers, and James and John were brothers. And these four guys had a fishing business together in northern Israel around the beautiful Lake of Galilee. Now, it's called the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. It's called Lake Gennesaret. It's called the Sea of Tiberias. It's got three different names for the same beautiful lake. It's like a Lake Tahoe in northern Israel. And at this point, we catch the story where Peter, James, John, and Andrew, they're not disciples of Jesus yet. They're just professional businessmen. And they make a living catching fish. And they've been out all night fishing on the Sea of Galilee. And they've caught nothing, nada, zip, zero. And the lake is in recession. Nobody's biting right now. They're going through tough times in their job. They're catching nothing. They're making no profit. They've worked hard. And now they've come ashore in the morning, and after 10 hours of fishing, they're cleaning their nets with nothing to show for it. They're tired, they're discouraged, and they got empty buckets. Some of you can relate to that today. Now, Jesus comes along, and he's talking to a crowd. There's a crowd of people on the shore, and he asks these guys, "Can I use one of your boats as a platform to speak from?" And we pick up the story in Luke 5. If you'll get out your message notes and look at the top, here's where the Bible starts. It says, "One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret," that's the Sea of Galilee, "with the people crowded around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets." Now, he gets into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, that's Simon Peter, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat, sitting in the boat. Now, why did Jesus ask to borrow the boat? Well, there are a number of different reasons. In the first place, water amplifies your voice. If you've ever been in a boat, you know that you can speak much further across a lake than you can on ground because ground absorbs sound waves. So it's just smart communication. He could speak to hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people on the shore who are listening to Jesus as the water amplifies his voice. But there are actually a couple more important reasons. Jesus is about to choose these four guys as his first disciples. He's going to ask them to leave their business and follow him. So he's going to plan to do a miracle in their work, a miracle they're going to understand. They're fishermen, a miracle of fish to a bunch of fishermen. Now, in verse 4, it says this: "When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Now launch out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch.'" Now, remember, they had just fished all night. These guys are pro fishermen. Simon says, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. We haven't made a sale. We haven't closed a deal. We haven't sold a house. We haven't stepped up our game. We haven't signed the contract. In fact, I'm out of work right now. We've worked all night, fished all night, and caught nothing." You can hear the discouragement in his voice. Now, sometimes this happens in life. Sometimes you give it your best shot, and you still come up 10 feet short. Sometimes you work hard, and you work diligently, and you work long, and you got nothing to show for it. We've worked all night, and we've caught nothing. Sometimes you even do what you think is the right thing to do in your job, in your career. You make a right decision, and you may even believe God is leading you to do it, and it just doesn't pan out. You've had a setback. That's what this series is all about.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Did you know experts have discovered that gratitude is the healthiest human emotion? It makes you more resistant to stress and increases your overall happiness and satisfaction. In fact, studies show the more grateful a person is, the happier they are. That's the power of gratitude. The Bible tells us to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. So it's clear that God wants us to develop an attitude of gratitude. But we all know it's not always easy to feel grateful. That's why Pastor Rick developed a Bible study called The Power of Gratitude. This innovative study is filled with scripture, teaching, exercises, quotes, prayers, and journal pages. As you go through the study, you'll discover the many and often unique things you have to be grateful for every day. you'll develop the lifelong habit of expressing gratitude to God, a habit that leads to true happiness and satisfaction. We'll send you Pastor Rick's Power of Gratitude Bible Study to say thanks when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take God's Word to people around the world. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Thank you so much for your support, and don't forget to let us know which radio station you heard us on.
And now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the second half of today's lesson.
Sometimes you even do what you think is the right thing to do in your job and your career. You make a right decision, and you may even believe God is leading you to do it, and it just doesn't pan out. You've had a setback. That's what this series is all about. And you go start this business, and it falls apart, and it doesn't make a profit, and you go deep in debt, and all those things that you think that God was leading you in, it just doesn't happen. You know, sometimes you hang in there with your marriage and you struggle, and maybe you get counsel and you read books on marriage and you really try to make this thing work, but you just don't see any improvement at all. It just isn't getting any better. The fact is, this miracle has a lot to teach us about setbacks, because everybody's fishing for something. Sometimes we're fishing for approval, and we're just looking for somebody to love us. And sometimes we're fishing for security. And sometimes we're fishing for significance. And sometimes you say, I want my life to count. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. So maybe you're fishing for a wife or a husband, or maybe you're fishing for who knows what. What are you fishing for today? I said, well, I'm fishing for a job. I need work. I need a new source of income. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody's fishing for something. When these fishermen, these four guys, did what Jesus tells them to do in this miracle, they not only receive a miracle, but they're blessed more than they can handle themselves. They actually have to share their blessing with other people. Wouldn't that be great to happen in your life? And their lives are changed forever. So Jesus uses Simon Peter's boat as a platform to preach the good news. And the Bible tells us the rest of the story. It says this: after Jesus finished speaking, he said to Simon, now launch out into the deep water to let down your nets for catch. And the Bible says that when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. That's a lot of fish. So they signals their partners, that's James and John, in the other boat to come over and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full with fish that they began to sink. Now that's a fish story. Friends, you're not going to top that one. And I'm not going to top that one. That's a flat out miracle. Now here's the point. They caught more in 10 minutes than they had caught in 10 hours when they did it the way Jesus said to do it. This is how you turn a setback into a comeback. This is called the miracle of acceleration, when God speeds things up. They catch more in 10 minutes than they had in the previous 10 hours. Now, when you understand the principle of this miracle of acceleration, you're not going to worry about timing. You might go a month or 2 months or a year or 2 years without work, but it doesn't matter, because God can turn on the faucet as quickly as the other one got turned off. He can do more in 10 minutes than you can do in 10 years if you do it the way he tells you to do. Now, the first thing you need to do is what Peter and Andrew and James and John did, is this. Write this down. I need to give Jesus complete access to my boat or to my job or to my business. I give Jesus complete access to my business. And if I want to go from emptiness to overflowing, notice it says there in verse 3, chapter 5 of Luke, Jesus got into one of the boats. That's the one that belongs to Simon. He asked him to pull a little bit out from shore. Sits down, teaches people from the boat. Now, here's the starting point. It's pretty simple. You got to get Jesus in your boat. That's the starting point if you want God's blessing on your career, on your job, on your business. If you want to move from emptiness to fullness, you got to get Jesus in the boat. Notice, what's the difference here? It's the same lake. It's the same boat. It's the same nets. It's the same fishermen. It's the same fish. The only thing that's different between nothing and overflowing abundance is Jesus is in the boat. You think that makes a difference? Oh, yeah. Jesus is in the boat. This is a game changer. You've got to get Jesus in your boat. You've got to give him access to your business. Now God is with them. They're not fishing by themselves anymore. Now they're not in the career by themselves anymore. They've got Jesus in their job. Their business has got the master in control here. Now let me apply this to the setback in your life, in your business. First, what's your boat? What's your boat? Well, your boat is how you make a living. It's how you make a living. It's your means of support. Simon was a fisherman, so his boat is obviously his business. He gives his job to Jesus. The boat represents your career, your vocation, your profession, your job. It represents how you make your livelihood. What's your boat? Well, maybe your salary or your commission or your royalties or whatever. What does it mean to have Jesus in your boat? Okay, listen closely. It means you dedicate your career, your business, your job, your work to God. Your job goes to God. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. You can have Jesus in your life, but not in your boat. You can have Jesus in your life, but not in your job. You've trusted him for salvation, and you come to church on weekends, and you praise the Lord, but then on Monday morning, you go back to work, and you leave Jesus at church, or you put him on the shelf at home. Jesus is certainly not using your boat, your job, as a platform for ministry and for mission. To give Jesus your boat and get him in your boat means you say, I dedicate my career to you for your use. Now, when Peter did this, when he gave his job to Jesus for God to use, he gets blessed with incredible results. Now, we normally think that God makes me really great and successful in business so that then I'll serve God with my success. Wrong. It's the exact opposite. God often uses my job or lack of it now and then so that then success can come. There is no comeback without a setback first. The setback is part of the plan. Are you listening? The setback is part of the plan. Peter has fished all night and caught nothing. And so how's he going to go from nothing to abundance? First, Peter lets Jesus use his job for a platform. Jesus gets to use his work, his job, his source of income to speak to other people. That's the order. It's not, God, you make me a success and then I'll serve you. It's the exact opposite. God, I'm failing in my job, in my career, in my business, but I'm going to give whatever I've got to you as a platform. Now you can bless it. Question, what do you want God to bless in your life? Whatever you want God to bless, you put him first in. You want God to bless your time? Give him the first part of every day in a quiet time. You want a God bless your week? You give him the first day of every week. You know, on a week in service. You want God to bless your money? You give him the first part of your money. That's called a tithe. So you get Jesus in your work. And you say, I want you to use my business, Lord, as your platform to spread the good news. And then we let God take care and control of everything. You see, really, you say, I'm a marketplace missionary. What do you do? Well, you say, I'm a missionary disguised as a realtor. I'm a missionary disguised as a nanny. I'm a missionary disguised as an accountant. I'm a missionary disguised as a truck driver. I'm a missionary disguised as a nurse or CEO or teacher or house cleaner, whatever it is. First and foremost, I'm using my career as a platform for Jesus. Then he blesses me in return. Some of you are going through tough times right now, and you're trying to change everything. Let me tell you something. These guys who had fished all night and caught nothing, they didn't need to change their nets. They didn't need to change their boat. They didn't need to change their business partners. They didn't need to change their location. They didn't need to change their marriage. They just needed to get Jesus in charge of the boat. Get him in the boat and let him take charge and follow him. That's what was needed. Some of you are trying to change everything else. Maybe I need to move out of Orange County. I need to move to whatever. Well, maybe that's not necessarily wrong, but maybe you just need to get Jesus in charge of your job. You get him in the boat. Now, here's the second step that they did, and you do it too. I admit that my efforts aren't working. If I want to move from setback to comeback, I admit that my efforts aren't working. Verse 4 and 5 of Luke chapter 5. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets. And Simon Peter answers, here's his confession, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. Do you realize how hard this was for Peter to say this? Peter is a pro. He's good at what he does. He's a professional fisherman. He's done it all his life. These guys are not amateurs. They're not novices. They're not weekend fishermen. They make a living at this. They know how to do this. But you know what? Sometimes even when you're a pro, you fish all night and you catch nothing. Even when you're experienced at your career, your job, you fish all night and you catch nothing. Now, it's humbling to say this. It's hard to say this. These guys make their living. Their identity is tied to their work. For Peter not catching fish, that's like LeBron James playing an entire game and never making a basket.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive hope and encouragement every day delivered right to your inbox, then sign up for Rick's free daily devotional by going to PastorRick.com right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, experts have discovered that an attitude of gratitude bolsters your health and happiness. So how do you practice daily gratitude, even when life is tough? Here's Rick to tell you about a Bible study he's developed to help you practice daily gratitude.
One of the things that God wants us to do, and he says it over and over in Scripture, is to practice gratitude. Did you know that gratitude is good for us? The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know what God's will is for you right now? It is that you learn gratitude in all circumstances. There's always something you can be thankful for. In fact, I've discovered, and I've read many reports, that experts have told us that gratitude is the healthiest human emotion. Did you know that gratitude makes you more resistant to stress? Did you know that gratitude makes you less susceptible to illness? Did you know that gratitude increases your overall happiness and satisfaction? That gratitude gives your life more meaning and significance? I don't know if you've ever noticed that the more grateful a person is, the happier they are. That's the power of gratitude. So I want you to live with the attitude of gratitude, the attitude of thankfulness. Now, I've put together a brand new Bible study called The Power of Gratitude. And in it, you'll find scriptures and teaching and exercises that'll help you develop the habit. Cultivate the habit of gratitude. You'll discover how to stay in God's will, how to defeat discouragement, how to conquer complaining, how to reduce stress, and how to experience God's blessing through gratitude. Friends, I want to help you develop a deep and a profound attitude of gratitude. The world is craving people like this, and you will be able to experience all that God has for you. So today, when you partner with me by giving a gift, a financial gift, to Daily Hope to help us take the certain hope of Jesus to people all around the world, I'm going to have my team send you the Power of Gratitude Bible study. I just want to say thanks to you. I want to be grateful for you. You know, your support is essential for us taking the Daily Hope message of Jesus all around the world. So do that today. Send us a gift and let me send you a gift, and you'll be grateful and so will we. God bless you.
Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or you can just call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support. And don't forget to let us know which radio station you heard us on. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.